Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. Phones open. If you want to join us, you can. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can bring up anything that you want to discuss in the studio with you tonight. It's Ian.
And Conan.
Coming up, the latest tyranny in Australia. We'll tell you the next insane step that they're going to be taking there.
Everyone's starting to pull back, but Australia and New Zealand, they're still playing it rough. Yeah. They're playing it hard.
They're doubling, tripling down. It's pretty ugly. Of course, we talked in detail about the trucker convoy, Freedom Convoy up there in Ottawa last night. If you've got any updates on that, maybe you're actually there in Ottawa and you want to weigh in, you're welcome to join us here, of course. It's Ian.
And Conan.
The number is 603-283-6160. And let's get into your story tonight, Conan. You've got something about leaky vaccines.
Yeah, this is actually something that I've wanted to talk about for a good long time now.
Okay.
And of course, I took a month off. And of course, you know, we get talking about other things. Because this, we always talk about what this is all about. We have suspicions. You know, the biggest one of being, of course, there are a lot of people making money off of this event. This, you know, this pandemic.
Everybody's selling masks. They're making big money.
Oh,
of course,
you better
the
believe it.
Vaccine now, providers.
Now they got a brand spanking new mask. I don't know if you've seen these new, what are they, N95s?
Those the real aren't ones? New, right? Those are
well,
old.
I mean, but the meme is out there that the new mask to wear is these new pointed N95 masks. Otherwise, you didn't get the memo.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They finally, the leftists in the mainstream have been admitting that the cloth masks just don't work. So
yeah,
now
yeah,
you got to
yeah.
spend more money to buy the
right.
fancier
and
masks.
And they're just one step closer to damn plague doctor masks.
Yeah.
You know, give it another 6 months and that'll be the new virtue signaled mask.
Well, actually, I've had a story in relation to that for the last couple of weeks. The headline was out of Los Angeles, students are now required to wear non-cloth face masks as of a week ago.
There you go.
So they're putting it down.
I've seen it at least the last 2 weeks. It's like everyone who was just wearing those regular old cloth masks, they've all upgraded.
All the true believers.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
But so all right, we know people are making money off of this. Some of the other theories are that you have powerful people out there who believe that there are too many people on this planet.
Well, that's not a theory. Those people
exist,
and they are out of the. You know, they're out regarding their opinions. They're not like hiding.
They've been talking about it forever.
Bill Gates is one of them, isn't he?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Of course. You know, and he's been talking about depopulation and that there are too many people eating up too many resources, and that and vaccines will help alleviate that problem.
Right.
Now, if you break it down, he means that. Bringing people out of third world situations, you know, the countries that are having 10 kids each family because, you know, half of them die. He's talking about, I guess, lifting those people up out of their situation by vaccinating them so that they don't need to make as many kids. I don't buy it for a second, but that's the believers will say that's what he meant when he came out years ago and said, yeah, we have too many people on this planet. That's why we need to vaccinate. I mean, that's like almost word for word. So when people say that, it's like, well, what do you really mean by that? Are the vaccines killing people? All right. So you have that crowd. You have the depopulationists. And then you also have the Klaus slobs out there, the Schwabs.
The World Economic Forum founder.
Who want to build back better. And this is a perfect event. This pandemic is a perfect opportunity to just break everything down so that they could do just that. Build
right.
back better.
You'll own nothing and you'll be happy.
And you'll be happy.
That's
be
what
eating,
they said
you'll be
in
eating
2016.
You'll be eating your bugs. You'll be living in your pod. You won't own anything. You'll rent everything. Everything will be delivered to you, and you'll be happy.
But Klaus Schwab will be very, very wealthy, and he'll have
absolutely,
mansions.
Absolutely,
and,
yeah. like he already does.
Right.
All right. Now, here's another idea. We're talking about the Big Pharma is making a lot of money off of this, but we all know Big Pharma doesn't make money off of healthy people. That's not their game.
They want you hooked on their drugs
they need
for their your
sick
life.
People. So, I mean, if the vaccine actually works, then they are out of a customer. So
right.
we've cured you. You're good to go. And that's it. We don't get to make any more vaccines for you. We might be able to make some for the next generation.
Right. Back in the day when we were growing up, you used to get a vaccine and you're done.
That's it.
Done for life.
So now this is where I'm going with this.
Because, now they want you coming back.
Because obviously the vaccines aren't working. They're talking about boosters. Well, exactly. That's where we're going.
Not working to stop the virus, but they're working to enrich their pushers.
Exactly. Now, all right, let's step back a little bit. Let me talk about where this is all going. I've been raising chickens for almost 9 years now. Mm-hmm. I've had all kinds of... I consider myself to be pretty experienced keeping them alive, as an urban farmer.
Got it.
One thing that I have dealt with, of course, wildlife. You know, I've had skunk attacks.
Right.
I had a coyote in there one time. By the way, I said skunks. You know, people out there are like, yeah, skunks don't eat chickens. Oh yeah, they do. I've lost more chickens to skunks than I have raccoon, coyote, and a bear attack.
You got a game camera up, right? That's how you know.
Oh, you can. I can. I was out there, and he was still at it.
Oh wow, he caught him in the act.
Caught him in the act both times.
Damn.
So caught him in the act. 22 caliber to the back of the head, and he's buried. Okay. Other than wildlife attacks, the other situation I've had to deal with is disease.
Mm-hmm, sure.
You know, the best way to prevent that is to keep a clean coop, clean food, clean water, and to keep your old nasty sick chickens away, and you know, to actually take them out of the herd, out of the flock, and cull them.
Got it.
So what disease am I talking about that is basically reduced huge numbers of my chickens is something called Marek's disease. Now, it's a really, really nasty way to go, and it's noticeable because basically it's a herpes type disease that affects the organs and especially the brain and the brain stem of the chickens, and basically turns their brains to mush.
Oof.
So and it's quick. I mean, it's like they get it and they're dead in 10 days.
Wow.
You go out there and you'll see it too. Everyone will come out to get their feed, and there'll be one in there just sitting there looking at you. And it's like, what's going on here?
Mm.
And they'll try to get up and they just do a face plant. They just fall over. And then that's day one. And then 12 hours after that, they're laying. They can't lift their head. They're just laying in their own, their own filth. They can't lift their... So they basically go... It paralyzes them and it kills them in a matter of 24 hours. It's just really nasty. So it's... And this usually happens, in my case, in my flock, it usually happens to really, really young chicks.
Hmm.
And to the older birds. Now, there is a vaccine for this, for the Marek's disease. And usually when you buy your chicks from the hatchery, especially if you're buying them from big Tractor Supply or Agway or places like this, those chicks are coming in. They're
pre-vaccinated.
They're either vaccinated in the egg, in ova, or you can get the one day chick vaccine, which is basically a syringe in the back of the neck. And this is stuff that you can buy online readily. Last year I started introducing my own birds. I have a rooster. I have two roosters now.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing their jobs. I have basically, just put the last hatchery birds in the freezer, about 2 months ago. So now every bird on my property was raised on my property. They're all something called that's a black, Australorp. Which is a really, I've tried up a lot of different birds over the years, and this is the bird I'm going to stick with.
Okay.
But like I said, over the years, I have just gone out there, and it's just a bird just laying there. Marek's disease.
Yeah.
It's just nasty. Let's talk about what this actually is.
The Marek's disease?
Yeah.
Okay.
The deadliest strains of viruses often take care of themselves. They flare up, and then they die out. This is because they are good at destroying cells and causing illness that they ultimately kill their host before they have time to spread.
Hmm.
But a chicken virus that represents one of the deadliest germs in history breaks from this conventional wisdom thanks to an inverted effect from a vaccine. And we're going to talk about why this vaccine is really screwing up the poultry industry.
Coming up here on Free Talk Live, you can join us as well, 603-283-6160. Talk Live. The number here, 603-283-6160. Ian and Conan in the studio for you. And you can bring up whatever you want. The number again, 603-283-6160. We've been telling you about how Intercoin can help any business and organization launch their own currency or raise money using their own token. And now Intercoin has launched its investor token on an exchange. You can go to xmarkets.com, exmarkets.com. All you need is an email address to register over there at xmarkets. You can keep your privacy intact. You can deposit dozens of different cryptos, including Bitcoin, trade those for Tether, and use that Tether to buy ITR, which is the Intercoin Investor Token. You can learn more about the Intercoin vision at intercoin.org and buy or sell ITR on xmarkets.com, exmarkets.com. You just might be advancing the cause of liberty around the world. We're going to get more into this leaky vaccine concept, Conan, that we haven't really explained yet. You're kind of laying the groundwork for it, talking about a particular disease that affects chickens, Marek's disease. And we'll talk about why that's relevant coming up here in a moment. But I did ask for people in, of course, you can call about anything, but I did ask specifically for people who are in Canada, who've been to Ottawa over the last few days. What's going on with the truckers, with the Freedom Convoy? And Mehdi is on the air here. Mehdi, you had called us late last week on, I think, Thursday or Friday, saying you were on your way up to Ottawa for the weekend. You were going to check out the Parliament area in Ottawa and see exactly what the scene was. And we've seen a ton of video. We've seen a lot of posts online. And it looks like it's been an amazing event. Very, very positive. I have not yet heard of a single arrest.
Nope.
Actually happening.
The cops aren't beating anybody up yet. They're not spraying them down with water hoses or setting dogs on them,
which is amazing. But Mehdi, what was your experience this weekend? How'd it go?
Yeah, it was good. Hi, Ian. Hi, Conan.
Hey.
So I was, Friday I was going up there. It officially started the protest on Saturday noon. But we went there early. I went there earlier than that. I went to the Parliament at 9:30, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I had two signs. One was End Wars, and the other was Class Unity. Looking at everyone there, millions of Canadian flags. There were families there as well with the kids, because they don't want to start getting the kids mandatory vaccinated as well. Right? Like right now, you know, the adults are all kind of mandatory vaccinated, but there's a fear that it's going to be with your children too. And they're, you know, kind of not liking that for sure. Phase 3 trials aren't done yet on children either as yet. So, but from what the data they have, they're saying it's safe and effective and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it makes sense if a parent won't want to do that. Everyone was positive that I met. I had to leave at about 12:30. So I left when the, they started coming in, but before it really got busy. It was still pretty busy when I was there. Just a lot of Canada flags, a lot of people, you know, being friendly, chatting. There was a guy with that, I don't know, it's a flag that's like the American, the Dukes of Hazzard one, with the racist.
The Stars and Bars.
Stars and whatever, yeah. So that one. But
it's not necessarily a racist flag, but people do jump to that conclusion when they see it.
Yeah, isn't it all about the South will rise again?
Yeah.
And that's okay, right there. What do you mean by that? What do you mean the South will rise? Are they going to bring slavery back with them as well?
It could just mean they believe in independence.
Yeah. That's the argument that's what the Civil War was all about, but they rewrote that, so who knows what it was really about.
Did you see any really offensive displays? Was there, because there's been a lot of hate from people that are on the left or the statist authoritarians who are saying that there are racists there, the racist flags, but yet others have said they have not seen any kind of, you know, Nazi this or that. Did you see anything like that?
So, no. The only thing I saw, like I said, was that, but I want to tell you about that guy. That guy with that flag, I wish I videotaped and started harassing, but I didn't. But there is a videotape. There is a, not videotape, you know what I mean? There is a camera, whatever, like a video of it, where they called him out. He's all masked up and stuff, not talking, not speaking, not doing anything.
You think he was
and
an agent?
There were people. Yes, there were people that called him out. It's on, I don't know what, TikTok or something, one of these social whatevers. And yeah, and they're laughing at him. This guy's like, oh, look at this guy now putting his head in shame. He knows he got caught. Look, he's not talking. He was like fully masked up and stuff, so you can't recognize him at all.
Yeah, okay. Definite agent provocateur without a doubt.
Because why wouldn't you even want to defend it? Why wouldn't you want to say, well, no, it doesn't mean this. It means this. Right. You know what I mean? He just wanted it, it seemed like, for the cameras. And then he left.
Yep.
So...
busted.
That's good. That's good that the people are waking up to this nonsense, that every one of these events, there's going to be one. And it's usually the one who's the first one that throws the bottle.
Yep. Absolutely. Yep. Or breaks the glass or whatever. Another critique that we, because we were reading some of the critiques of, you know, people that love the government. They were saying, oh, well, there's been vandalism. There's people defecating and urinating in snowbanks. You were there for several hours or a few hours, it sounded like, when you had to, you know, when you had to urinate, where did you go?
So I didn't end up having to pee, but I didn't see anybody peeing on anything, like, or defecating anywhere, to be honest. So, I mean, I never saw that, but I was only there for maybe like 4 hours. So I was able to, I mean, I didn't have
you
to
held
do
it.
Anything like
okay.
that. Yeah. Then there were signs, and there actually were signs where the person said, like, stay peaceful, call out, because I took pictures, I'm just looking at my phone. Stay peaceful, call out RCMP agitators. Mm. RCMP is the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. I think they're a federal police.
That's like the FBI, right? Like, they're the equivalent of the FBI
for
Canada? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I mean, they also do, you know, they walk around with horses and stuff. Like, they're a prettier face, right? They're not like FBI, right?
Yeah.
But they're, RCMP, federal police people. And so,
but no violence. You didn't see any arrests, right? There was no arrests.
No, not at all.
Yeah, it sounds
was just happy, smiling, walking around.
Yeah, it sounds like a nice event that Justin Trudeau probably would have really liked to have gone to.
Except he was in hiding.
Still in hiding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see? Did you notice that any of the businesses that were nearby were open, or were they all closed down? What percentage of them could you tell?
No, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, anybody who decided to close during this was an idiot.
There was
sure.
a whole article in the mainstream media, the Ottawa Citizen or whatever that is, about all these restaurateurs who supposedly closed their doors this or that.
This is when the food trucks and the hot dog stands, this is when they
you'd
shine.
Make bank were down there.
Or even the porta potty guy.
Right.
If you could find someone to pay you, I don't know how that would work. If you can find the planner and be like, hey, look, you guys are going to need...
They raised $9.4 million Canadian dollars on a GoFundMe for this thing.
Really?
Yeah. We checked it yesterday.
Maybe they did have a porta potty guy out
there. I don't
know.
That's a good question. They should have. That would have been definitely something to consider.
Now, is it still taking place? Isn't there some guy who's waiting? Isn't there a trucker who's out there waiting for Trudeau to show up?
They might be waiting for Trudeau to show up, yeah. But there are truckers definitely there, and there are truckers that are saying we're not leaving until, you know, they stop these mandates.
Yeah.
Like their main thing is the mandates. You know, I learned something in Quebec. If you're not vaccinated, you can barely go anywhere. You can go to the grocery store, pharmacy. I think you can get a haircut, and I mean that's about it. Like, there's not a lot of places you can go.
Mehdi, thanks for giving us a call here and sharing your experience from the weekend, and definitely appreciate hearing from you. And I definitely want to hear from other people as this develops, because apparently it's still going on. There's live footage here that I just pulled up. Again, big search to find info is Freedom Convoy 2022, all is one word. Twitter's got a bunch of posts, and there's still people out there today. This is Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live's video archives have been on Library for years. Library is an uncensorable, decentralized, blockchain-based media sharing protocol, and we're big fans of it here on Free Talk Live. In 2020, Library launched Odyssey, a video sharing website to compete with YouTube, and it's really taking off, now with over 1 million channels, many of whom are disaffected YouTube creators. During YouTube's crackdown for not towing the government line on COVID, the Free Talk Live YouTube channel started receiving strikes and could be completely taken down at any moment. Thankfully, Odyssey started offering live streaming, so we're now streaming live every night and posting our video archives permanently to Odyssey. You can watch live or anytime on our Odyssey channel by visiting video.freetalklive.com. If you want to go all in, download the desktop app at lbry.com, and then every video archive you watch, you'll help seed and keep it online forever. At minimum, we ask you visit video.freetalklive.com and follow us on Odyssey today. video.freetalklive.com. Yeah! Come on! is Free Talk Live. The phones are open. You can join the program simply by calling in 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And I want to say thanks to Ryan Walsh, who is a supporter of Free Talk Live's AMPS program. We've got a Patreon, actually, that we started a few months ago. And thank you to everybody that has signed up over at amps.freetalklive.com. Ryan's doing silver level, which is $5 a month. And we definitely appreciate the assistance. It helps us advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. Helps us get the message of liberty into more ears all around the United States and beyond. We've got over 190 great radio stations airing this show at various different times throughout the week, and we could have 250, 300. It is possible, but it does take some marketing effort, and so the AMP program helps us with that. AMPS.freetalklive.com. It's Ian and Conan here in the studio tonight. I was just watching some of the footage from the truckers. I know we're going to get back into the vaccine discussion here in a moment, but still, a bunch of trucks still parked in the street, right in front of Parliament, still honking away, and still a fairly large number of people gathered, their speakers, you know, saying things to the crowd, and it continues. And this is a very exciting, you know, Occupy is back, except Absolutely. It's not the hard left. Of course, the joke this time is the Marxists are always about the people.
Workers unite.
Right, the workers coming together.
And now, why are they upset about this?
Exactly, they're hypocrites.
These are the types of jobs that the armchair sitters, the warriors, the keyboard warriors.
Yeah.
This is something they would never do. Trucking sucks.
Yeah, well, and everybody depends on these guys.
Uh-huh.
These are arguably the most important job anywhere.
It's the lifeline.
Yeah, literally.
I mean, you have your people making things, but usually that's China.
Mm-hmm.
And you have your lifeline, your truckers who are delivering it to these keyboard warriors. Where do you think your milk comes from, dude?
Yeah.
Where do you think your chicken comes from?
Where did you think the keyboard came from?
And they're like, some of these people don't really know.
Nah.
They're like, well, it comes from the store.
Oh my God, are you serious?
Yes, actually I am.
I believe that, you, actually. I just saw a video, I think it was like a TikTok, where some girl, I presume she's serious about this, says that she just learned that hair grows from her scalp instead of at the ends of her hair. And she's, probably a 30-year-old woman.
Probably a teacher.
Right. So anyway, we're going to continue covering this Freedom Convoy. We talked about it in detail last night. If you missed that show, go grab it over at freetalklive.com. You can download previous episodes there easily. I don't know if there's anything that's breaking as far as the Freedom Convoy. They're still there. The police are still doing nothing about it, which is fantastic. And I think they look like they're dug in.
Yeah, yeah. Trudeau, where you at, bruh?
Oh, and I still want to hear, you know, some of the details. Like, how are these guys refueling? Is there a way? Because when I look at some of the videos, I do see open lanes.
Well, they do have tractor trailers. Maybe they're full of fuel.
Well,
are they actually driving around, or are they just sitting there?
They're just sitting there.
Well, they're not using fuel.
Well, they're still running, so they're using some fuel.
Well, these guys are, they come equipped. There's some big old tanks, and usually double tanks on a lot of these vehicles where they're
100 gallons or whatever, right?
Even more than that in some cases. So, because they don't know where the next affordable gas is, or gas period. So they probably have a game plan.
I would presume that they do. I just am interested in hearing it. And Mehdi, who called in earlier, said he was going to send me some info, possibly get us in touch with some of the purported organizers of this thing. And I'd love to hear, you know, some of the inside scoop. But anyway,
I would be more concerned. I was actually thinking about this morning. I would be so much more concerned with just where can I use the bathroom?
Yeah.
I can't go into this restaurant that's closed, and they'll know that I'm one of the activists, so they're probably not going to let me in anyways. So where am I going to go? So are there porta potties out there? Has some establishment opened their doors to the folks to come in? And
you'll make $100,000 probably if these place that's open. All right, so 603-283-6160. Let's get back into the original discussion we were having, Conan. You were telling us about Merrick's disease.
Merrick's disease, and what is it?
It's a chicken disease.
What is it, and how bad has it gotten in recent years?
And you said there's a vaccine, but...
But, now, there are a lot of good articles on this topic, but I did want to not pick some fringe site that people could, you know, basically call me out at. So I did. I found a PBS.org article mm-hmm. that was written in the summer of 2015. So this is not new. This is not a new event. We've known about this for some time. So PBS.org, chickens vaccinated against Marek's disease rarely get sick, but the vaccine does not prevent them from spreading Marek's to unvaccinated birds.
Mm.
Does this sound familiar to anybody?
Yes, it does.
With, quote, with the hottest strains, every unvaccinated bird dies within 10 days. There is no human virus that is that hot. Ebola, for example, does not kill everything in 10 days.
Hmm.
In fact, rather than stop fowl from spreading the virus, the vaccine allows the disease to spread faster and longer than it normally would, a new study finds. The scientists now believe that this vaccine has helped this chicken virus become uniquely virulent. Note, it only harms fowl, so don't worry about I even eat these guys when they die.
All right, so what you were saying before was that this disease will kill a chicken within days.
An unvaccinated chicken and some vaccinated chickens as well, by the way.
But they're saying that because the vaccinated chickens don't die from it, that's actually spreading it further than it would otherwise.
Their whole lives, they spread it.
Wow.
All it takes is that day one back of the neck syringe mm-hmm. Injection, and they are spreaders for the rest of their lives. And any unvaccinated chickens that are brought into the scene,
they're going to die.
It's a very good chance they're going to take it.
Mm.
So this was a study that was published. A scientific study that was done in 2015. So this is, and we might actually go to this and talk about this in a second. But anyways, this is the first time that this virus-boosting phenomenon known as the imperfect vaccine hypothesis has been observed experimentally. The reason that this is a problem for Marek's disease is because the vaccine is leaky. A leaky vaccine is one that keeps a microbe from doing serious harm to its host, but does not stop the disease from replicating and spreading to another individual. On the other hand, a perfect vaccine is one that sets up lifelong immunity that never wanes and blocks both infection and transmission.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to note childhood vaccines for polio, measles, mumps, rubella, and smallpox are not leaky. They are considered perfect vaccines.
Hmm.
As such, they are in no way in danger of falling prey to this phenomenon.
So you have to wonder, was this done on purpose? Did the creator of whoever it was that created this chicken vaccine for the Marek's disease, did they make it leak? Did they know that they were making a leaky vaccine, knowing that that would encourage more people to get the vaccine? Because, hey, if you don't
have more farmers to get this vaccine because mm-hmm. they caused a problem where, and that's kind of my whole point of this, is mm-hmm. there's another vaccine that's floating around out there that is also leaky. You can get it. You can get the vaccine. Supposedly, it prevents you from getting really sick and or going to the hospital.
That's what they say, but there's no way to prove that.
There's no way to prove that point, but they have admitted that you are exuding spike proteins
mm-hmm.
especially right after you get the shot, and you're in danger. The people around you, unvaccinated, are in danger of getting sick. I think this is exactly what happened to two of us at work. The two unvaccinated guys.
Mm.
We both got it. We both got something. Both within hours, both within a 24-hour window of each other, and we were out for 2 weeks each.
Hmm.
So
but now you got the natural immunity.
Well, unless Omicron is different than Delta, maybe if it's a whole nother strain, if that's what I got, who knows what I got? Mm-hmm. I'm not getting a test to prove, otherwise. I don't want to be a statistic.
Yep. Don't need them to know about that.
So the results to raise the questions for some human vaccines that are leaky, such as malaria and other agricultural vaccines, such as the one being used against avian influenza or bird flu. Marek's disease has plagued the chicken industry. It has caused $2 billion in losses annually for fowl farmers across the globe. And you've got to get it. You either get it or your chickens, the whole flock will die.
There's more coming up here. You can join us. The number 603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live. Yeah. It's Free Talk Live, and you can join us here. The number 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160 in the studio tonight. You've got Ian.
And Cody.
Don't forget, you can join us online anytime over at freetalklive.com. We've got our social media site that allows you to have a lot more freedom to express yourself than what you're going to get on these mainstream big tech sites like Twitter or Facebook. You can head over to social.freetalklive.com and get signed up over there. That's social.freetalklive.com. We're going to go back into your calls and thoughts. Also, Conan, you've still got more to say on this leaky vaccine situation.
And the parallels between modern-day vaccines. And the fact that people should really look at this information that I'm giving to you, and to realize that this isn't something you want to play around with, and this might be exactly what we're dealing with. They might be actually literally playing around with new technology, new medicine, and it might seriously come back to blow up in our faces, or even worse, our grandchildren's faces.
We'll talk about that coming up. But first, Greg is on the line calling us from New York. Greg, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Conan.
Hey.
Hey, Greg.
I wrote an article today, which I sometimes do on the Intercoin Forum. It was talking about NFTs. And I was replying to a bunch of articles that talk about NFTs. For those who don't know, they're non-fungible tokens.
Thank you. Yep.
Yep. If you have not been living under a rock or a pet rock, as it were, I guess, in this case, you would probably know that people are buying these JPEGs or these things that are hosted somewhere, and they claim exclusive ownership over it. So I don't want to really get into the utility conversation of, like, what's the point of buying a publicly accessible tweet when I can just read the tweet anytime I want. But my interest is that many of these things are hosted on centralized sites.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that interesting because cryptocurrency is supposed to be decentralized, and yet, of course, the blockchain doesn't have enough storage to store all that kind of stuff. So people could store on IPFS and a bunch of other emerging networks like ARWeave, MadeSafe, and others. But most people just store on hosting. And here's my point. I started to look at the economics of it. It's very interesting. The person who is hosting and producing the content is the one who pays for storage. They pay all the upfront costs. And then no matter how big their thing gets, could be worth millions of dollars, their collection, they essentially pay for the hosting, and they then try to recoup that money by, you know, subscription fees or something like that. And that's the standard process for Web 2 and everything else. I found that to be very interesting because it's the capitalist model. You put up the capital up front, then you try to recoup it, and it leads to essentially lock-in, trying to extract rents, closed source software, stuff like that. And I just wanted to talk about alternatives like open source and Wikipedia and Creative
Commons.
Let
me see if I'm following what you're saying here. So this NFT thing is a phenomena. It's been big for the last year or so. People have been paying big, big money in cryptocurrency, like hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not more in some cases, for what is considered to be an exclusive ownership over, in a lot of cases, some sort of media. And typically it's like a GIF or a JPEG, some sort of static image of some sort of artwork. Some of it's pretty crappy. Others, okay, maybe it's decent. But still, that's kind of the gimmick, is you're this owner of this thing. And apparently what you're saying here, Greg, is similar to what we've heard before, is that these, when you buy this NFT, apparently what you're buying is quote-unquote ownership over a specific URL. So if you buy, you know, one of these apes, these are very, very popular apparently, these images of apes. You buy one of these apes and you get ape number 1725 and you think it's great or whatever. Well, there's a specific URL being hosted, what you're saying, on a centralized server somewhere that somebody is paying the rent on to keep online, to keep that graphic in the place where that URL happens to be located. And that means that if that person stops paying that hosting bill, then that graphic goes away, right?
not only does it go away, but in a much broader sense, our society is based on that kind of economics. So you already know my left libertarianism and my sensibilities, but when I see it, I can't unsee it, so I want to share it. Think of like a book. Somebody writes a book. They typically have the government go and enforce the copyright. If somebody copies the book, doesn't harm the person physically or anything, doesn't take their property, you could say, but they take their intellectual property, well, they can say that you've initiated sport or violence, and then they could use force to force you to make their business model make sense, right? So again, what happens is, the idea is that somebody has to come up with a lot of capital to do R&D originally, whether it's for drugs, for patents, or whether it's for books or movies, and then they need to recoup those costs, they and their investors. Whereas the alternative would be like science or Wikipedia or open source software, so or Creative Commons, where people can remix freely and each contribution is very small. So Wikipedia or fix a bug in Linux. So everyone sort of puts in a little bit, but then they give it away and the whole thing can be used by anybody. That I find to be a lot more resilient than a centralized server or a centralized author or publishing house using the government to try to force people to make their business model work. That's what I wanted to kind of explore.
Yeah, I mean, whatever it is that works, as long as it's voluntary, I support people doing it. So, what I mean, as far as NFTs are concerned, it sounds to me like you're not in favor of the whole concept. Is that a fair extraction or extrapolation?
No,
from
not
this?
Necessarily. I think that NFTs with utility are good.
Mm-hmm. So, like, give me an example of that. Yeah,
domain names were the original NFTs. You could buy a domain name and point it to something, and that you owned a portion of that namespace, you know, .com
right.
or whatever. Other things include tickets to concerts, subscriptions that even if they expire, they're worth something. So that kind of stuff I like. The NFTs that don't have a utility component where you can just look at a tweet, well, I could have looked at it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not, I'm not here to judge because I'm not, you know, an art connoisseur. Obviously, you know, why would I own the real Mona Lisa when I can own a picture in a book? I can just look at it. So I don't know what the point is either. But I will say that what I'm saying is broader. I'm just saying that the whole idea of venture capitalists or people up front putting up the money and then selling it to the public in an IPO, later, all of these groups, whether it's Wall Street or the investors, they force the company to keep its source closed because they need to retain the power mm-hmm. over their users to extract rents forever. Because if you bought the shares at $200, you don't want the shares to go down because the company decided to be nice and open source all of their software. That's the idea. You know, Netscape open sourced all their software, and that's how we got Firefox. We would have never maybe the Internet Explorer monopoly or hegemony if Netscape hadn't done that. But that's the idea. The idea is if information goes free, then essentially you don't need that one guy hosting the NFT. You start getting a bunch of other people hosting it also on IPFS or whatever. And before you know it, now this one person isn't paying the bills for the hosting. The thing becomes bigger than they are, becomes like Bored Apes, the decentralized movement or whatever. And then their private ownership gets diluted. So the public, everyone now collectively owns that specific thing, which is what I'm trying to say. Private ownership is kind of brittle in the sense that, well, if you rely on that one host, author, whoever they are, to pay for hosting, well, you could be really disappointed with your $1 million purchase because one day it could just not be there.
Yeah, or they could switch it out. They could take the same URL to boardape1752.jpg and put
change a couple pixels
or put a porno pic in there or something like that. They could do anything they wanted to.
Do you think, and this is where I'm going, this is what I think. Do you think this is just a money laundering scheme, especially these digital prints, these NFTs digitals?
Hmm.
Do you think this is a money laundering scheme similar to what the art community and rich people have been doing forever? Buying abstract nonsense art like a blue pane for $1 million, and it's just a way to put their money somewhere, and as long as they can keep this dumb art, as long as they can convince each other to exchange this art at this blue pane at $1 million, that's a way of laundering their money. Do you think these NFTs, the new ones that are coming out that we're all hearing about, are the same thing? I'm not talking about domain names, but the eight prints.
It's a mix. I think it's a mix. You can certainly buy more useful things like real estate and park your money there too. But I guess what I'm trying to say, and I wanted to put this to everybody at Speak.Live, is this. If you think that private ownership is going to save the forest or save whatever, who is to say they can't sell out? And all of a sudden, you sell that forest or lake to Coca-Cola. That's what I wanted to ask.
Yeah, and maybe decentralized autonomous organizations can help decentralize away from these centralized power structures. Thank you for the call tonight, Greg, and that's a whole other topic. We got more on the way, though, about the leaky vaccines, and your calls are welcome. Join liberty-minded voluntarists, anarchists, and libertarians from June 27th through July 3rd for the 6th annual ForkFest at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which sold out for the first time in 2021. ForkFest takes place the week after ForkFest, but ForkFest is decentralized, which means that there's no ticket cost and no one is in charge. All you have to do to join the fun is reserve your camping site, RV site, or motel room with Rogers Campground for June 27th through July 3rd. There's no better place to celebrate Independence Day than around other freedom-loving activists in the Shire. You can find out more at the unofficial website, forkfest.party. You can also connect with other attendees on the ForkFest Telegram and Matrix chat rooms, as well as the ForkFest forum. You can find links to those at forkfest.party. We hope to see you there. ForkFest.party.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live, kicking off the second hour of the program. You can take control of the airwaves here by dialing in at 603-283-6160. That means you can bring up whatever is on your mind with you tonight. It's Ian.
And Conan.
Again, 603-283-6160. We've been throughout the show talking about this concept of the leaky vaccine. And I know you've got more on that, Conan, coming up here. We're going to dig in a little bit deeper onto that. But first, we're going to go to your calls, your thoughts. And you can bring up whatever's on your mind. So we're going to start up with Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yes, I just have to get off the speaker. So they found that guy who ran over and killed that 7-year-old boy during Christmas time. So with that off-road vehicle. So that he was hiding out in Mexico. So, yeah, and so they were communicating with him the whole time, and they were he turned himself in.
Well, if they were communicating with him, I don't think you could really call that hiding out.
I don't know what the rules are. They can't. Can they go in if the U.S. can't go in and get him out?
No, but generally what they'll do is they will send a request to the Mexican law enforcement, and they'll tell the Mexican law enforcement what they want them to do, and the Mexican law enforcement will go and do that. And they always, you know, scratch each other's backs when it comes to that. So it's very hard to actually get away from the reach of the U.S. federal government. They can pretty much get you anywhere with very few exceptions, maybe with the exception of Russia or a few other handful, you know, Iran, Cuba.
Yeah, well, the family was on the news, and they're going to move back to the East Coast after this. So after what happened, they're just terrified of even going outside. And, you know, I guess I did not know they were from another state. No wonder this happened. I mean, if they were from here, they'd probably just think it's a perfectly fine.
Fine that their son was killed by hit
and
run?
No, if you're born and raised here, I've talked to people that were born and raised here, and everybody gets hit by a drunk driver. Half the family got hit by a car. Everybody's got killed, and they're used to it. They think it's just normal, you know.
I find it hard to believe that pedestrian accidents are just that common to where everyone knows someone they know someone directly that has been affected by one. That seems unbelievable to me.
Well, it's it's unbelievable to me too, because it was actually comical. I was talking to a guy that was riding a bike, and I said, you know that you almost get killed by a car all the time. He goes, oh, five of my sisters and brothers got killed by a car. So, you know, so the only change that we could make is probably from people that are from elsewhere, like myself, that want some change. But last year was a really bad year. 99 pedestrians killed in our state. So it's usually around like 83. We went over and beyond that.
And you believe that the solution is more cameras, more cops? That's your typical belief, right? That's what you've called in about.
Yeah, I've always talked about the red light cameras and the mobile speeding vans. And we were a lot better.
Even though the numbers show that the red light cameras actually increase accidents because people will speed up in order to try to get through the intersection or slam on their brakes in order to, you know, not get their photo taken, and then therefore get rear-ended.
That's just a lame excuse that they just conjure up. What it is that
it's statistics. People are more likely to slam on their brakes,
right?
And that causes accidents.
Okay. What is a rear end accident as opposed to this guy ran a red light at 50 miles per hour, and killed him? You know, and so the thing is that
tell that to somebody who had someone slam into them from behind in, you know, the rear and got whiplash, and then they're affected for the rest of their lives.
That's usually not as fatal. But as far as pedestrian fatality, there was a year when we had, I think, 47 the whole entire state, or 51. I don't know exactly. 47 the whole entire state. That's when we still had
Well, you know, Sarah, you can always ban cars, and then the problem will be solved, right?
That's what they want. That's what they want anyways.
Thanks for the call. The number is 603-283-6160. Look, there are risks involved when you're traveling in a two-ton, you know, death trap, basically. There's
tin can.
Things are going to happen, and some of them are going to be ugly. The best thing that you can do is to encourage people to pay attention.
You know what? Come up here to New England, where every intersection is a roundabout. And people, you have two types of people in this world: people who love roundabouts and people who absolutely hate them.
There's also people who don't understand them.
Well, that's the people who hate them. And you can break down the haters into two categories: the people who are afraid to use them because they are afraid of hitting other people,
right?
And you have the status types who want everything to be orderly, and they're mostly afraid of people, of the idiots who don't know how to use a roundabout, from hitting them. And then you have me, and I've seen this. I've seen it in action. I've seen. We have a major intersection here in Keene, and I've been here almost 10 years now. I've seen it down like two or three times the whole time. It's dead, and this is a major intersection, and I have seen hundreds of commuters traverse this dangerous intersection with absolutely no light. And it is magical. It is just watching the flow, watching everyone orderly line up and then actually pull out and traverse this dangerous intersection with no one standing there telling them how to do it. It's just like...
So you like the... You're a supporter of roundabout.
I'm a supporter of this chaotic order. And all you had... Speaking of statistics, Sarah, when you look at... fatalities and accidents in general on roundabouts versus
intersections
with lights, and or even someone dictating when you should go and come and go. The insurance companies love them, and there's a reason, because
night and day difference.
It's a night and day difference. There are no head on collisions with someone else. You might have a little rub against someone.
Yeah,
but
see what you're saying.
But people here's why it works so well. You're talking about the people who are afraid to use them, or they don't know how to use them, because they slow down and they perk up and they look around. They look at their environment and they actually think for themselves for once.
They're not used to that.
And of course, they're not. This is why people don't like them, because they want someone telling them
what to do. Right. That's a good point.
But I know that when it comes to the highway system, roundabouts are the libertarians of the highway.
Mm.
are the anarchists even? Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, there's still rules. Someone set these rules in motion, but there is so much left to the individual that it just, when you look at the statistics, makes too much sense. Get rid of these red lights. Get rid of them. Every time they want to build a new roundabout, you can hear all the naysayers. Oh, my God. We already have like 20 of them. I'm like, man, bring it on.
Yeah.
Bring it on. Get rid of the stop signs. If you want to put a yield sign, all right, put a yield sign up. Get rid of the stop signs. Because the traffic just flows, and I love it. I love chaotic order. It makes me feel so good because we're born chaotic. We're born anarchists. And it's only through the indoctrination, it's only through society turning us into these sheep.
You remember those
rule following sheep?
You remember those road studies where I think it was like Denmark or something, where they took away all the signs from a certain road, and they did a study as to how people drove on it.
There was a town. They took their whole main street, their whole mm-hmm. downtown, and they removed all the signs. They removed all parking spots. They removed all lines, street lines. Everything was removed. It was just pavement.
Yeah.
And it was a night and day difference. People figured it out. All the naysayers were like, oh my God, people are going to be going.
People drive more carefully.
They're going to be doing 50. No, they weren't doing 50. They were driving slower than they were when you had all the signs. Mm-hmm. Just drive down your main street, people, and look at the hundreds of signs. Right. Have you ever looked at any of those signs? It's sign overload. This is the Simpsons episode. Yeah. There's sign overload. You're not reading any of them.
603-283-6160. We got more on the Merrick's disease, the leaky vaccines. Coming up, this is Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. Phones open. You can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. And we're going to whatever you want. 603-283-6160. Here tonight, it's Ian.
And Conan.
Coming up, the latest from Western Australia and how, they're pretty insane over there. But what's the next step they're taking? We've got that news for you on the way. But we've been talking about Merrick's disease, which affects chickens. In relation to this concept of a leaky vaccine that you've been telling us about, Conan, which, as I understand it, is a vaccine that is not what they call perfect. The perfect vaccine is what we're used to when we were kids, in the 80s or 90s or, before that. You get the measles, you get the mumps, you get the rubella, you get the maybe chicken pox or whatever.
That's it.
And you're done. Set.
And not only that, not only are you good to go, but you don't spread it.
Right. You're not coming back for a booster or anything like that. You don't get that thing in the future. That's what's considered a perfect vaccine. But you've been telling us about in the world of raising chickens, which you've done for close to a decade now. There's this Merrick's disease that is devastating to a chicken.
Absolutely. You get it, and your girls are pretty much dead, goners.
The whole coop.
And not only that, but it will take out, it'll take a whole brood.
So they've been pimping a vaccine for that for some time.
Since the 70s.
And
so this is new technology. This is new study. It's this study was done 5 years ago, 7 years ago now. And the guy who ran this, some guy named Reed, he was just surprised. He's like, oh my God, what have we done?
And he discovered that when a bird, a chicken, has this vaccine for the Merrick's disease, they're still able to get it and still able to spread it, but they don't die from it. They don't get even sick.
Some do. Some mm-hmm. still die from it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And usually it's the weaker. It's the really young chicks and or the older, which in nature... this is how viruses usually operate. They mm-hmm. usually take out the weakest link, and then that's it. It actually kills the weakest link, and that's it. It doesn't mm-hmm. spread any further because it doesn't have a host anymore.
But now
it's able to stay alive. It's able to replicate. It's able to mutate, and that's why it has gotten so bad. Back in the 70s when this was first introduced, you'd lose some birds. But it wasn't as bad as it is now. Hmm. You bring one sick bird into it, and you can take out your entire industry overnight because it has gotten that bad. So now the chicken industry, 20 billion chickens on this planet, the chicken industry is dependent
on
this vaccine. You can't just turn it off now. It has become a part of the system. So if you were to turn it off or the developers of this vaccine were to go away and stop overnight, it's over.
Chickens could be exterminated, is what you're saying.
And not only that, but the disease hangs around for so long, so it breeds in their dander and it floats, so it's just floating around.
Mm-hmm.
It could be in your system. It could be in your coop for up to 2 years.
Wow.
So I mean, they would have to burn whole hatcheries down, whole facilities down, because it would be so dangerous if they were to start from zero and try to go the unvaccinated route. Whole chicken industry gone overnight. And now I haven't bought a chicken from a hatchery in 2 years,
because they're all sold pre-vaccinated, most of them.
If you're buying them from Tractor Supply, they are pre-vaccinated.
But are you vaccinating your own chickens?
Oh, hell no.
No.
Now if you buy them, you can buy them online. I deliver chickens all the time, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy them online, and there's usually an option. Do you want these vaccines? And I looked at one hatchery before I came here tonight, and it's usually like 20-30 cents. Because it's a cheap vaccine, and they can usually just do it while in the shell. I don't know how that works, but you get your chickens, they're vaccinated, there's a good chance they're gonna survive.
So you've got an unvaccinated chicken coop. Aren't you taking a serious risk?
Well, here's the thing. I am running my own experiment.
Mm-hmm.
I have introduced some of the chicks that I introduced last year early in the season. I probably lost about 20 birds. I mean, it's just
over a decade?
No.
In the last year?
In the springtime. Lost 20 birds in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Babies. But I intentionally hatched a good 2-3 dozen. I hatched 3 dozen chickens because I knew a lot of them were going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the lessons that I have learned is... To keep the chicks away from the main flock for as long as possible, for as long as I can endure, because the older they are when I introduce them, the more capable they are of actually surviving.
Hmm.
I introduced some young, they were maybe a month old, 4 weeks old. I introduced 4 week olds to the flock, and every damn one of them, one dozen of them, they were dead within the week
from this Merrick's disease.
Oh yeah, you can like I said, you can tell. It is so obvious. I haven't done any autopsies.
Now, how do they catch this thing?
It's in the dander. It's floating around.
So it just comes from somewhere else.
It came from one of the original birds that I introduced onto my property. It could have been a bird from 8 years ago, and it had it, and it spread it.
Oh my God.
It spread it to the other birds. Didn't kill them. They're still alive. They all have it. This is just like cold sores, the herpes syndrome that people get. You can't ever get rid of it. You have it forever. And by the way, most people have it.
Hmm.
But it doesn't kill you. This is also a herpes virus, but it doesn't grow on their feet or on their beaks or on their skin. It actually develops on their...
Kills their brain.
On their organs and their brain, and it just slowly... Or not slowly, it kills them very quickly.
Wow.
And my experiment, of course, is can I alleviate the hot strain by just having my own girls, my own birds on the property? Is it going to be an easier time for me from here on out? Because all the birds on the property are my birds. I raised them.
Right.
They're from their parents. Their parents are there, and the kids are there. So I mean, it's nice, you know. Nice little coop going on there. We'll see. Next spring, when I start hatching some more eggs out, we'll see how they do.
So you're extrapolating this out, this Merrick's disease situation with the leaky vaccine there, to what's going on with COVID.
Absolutely, right. Because what we know is that COVID vaccines, all of them, even Johnson & Johnson, or Janssen, however you want to say it, they are not preventing people from getting the COVID afterwards. In fact, a lot of the commenters this evening, they have correctly stated that this really isn't even a vaccine.
It's a shot.
It's a shot like the
flu
shot.
It's an experimental mRNA shot that we don't know anything about.
Yeah, but it's not keeping you from actually getting it. So I guess you could call it it is a vaccine, but you have to say that it's a leaky vaccine.
Well, it's only a vaccine under the new definition of vaccine, which they changed the definition of vaccine recently.
Oh, yeah. And they've, as well as changing the definition of anti-vaxxer. It's anyone who's against mandates.
Right. Anyone who is for choice is an anti-vaxxer.
So I think the real takeaway, and by the way, this is a good article. Mm-hmm. Not only is this article good, but they actually link to the study. I'm going to link this on our Telegram so that you guys can take a look at it. But this needs to be thought of and compared to what we're dealing with today.
The number, if you want to join us, 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Plus, we'll find out what the latest tyranny is in Australia, because things are really bad there and they're not getting better. There's more coming up. This is Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live, phones open. You can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Ian and Conan in the studio tonight. And we're raising money for Give Directly. They are the first nonprofit that allows you to give money directly to people living in extreme poverty. We're talking about people that are in such a poverty kind of situation, they don't even have running water. They have to go and walk for miles in order to get drinkable water. In right now, Bemet and Kilifi counties in Kenya, we're helping those people out, and you can help out by going to give.freetalklive.com. We will match your donations up to $30,000 in total, and you can see our goal there and how close we are to it. We have a ways to go. So thank you to the folks that have pushed us as far as we've gone. And, of course, the people over at Give Directly do some amazing work. They locate recipients who are in need, and they use mobile money to send them cash with no strings attached. And that means that they can make their own choices. And research shows that giving cash to people living in poverty can drive a range of important positive changes like employment, nutrition, health, and education. They get to decide. And GiveDirectly has given over $400 million to over a million people in just the last decade. So get on over to give.freetalklive.com. You can help out there. That's give.freetalklive.com. As we continue here, Conan, was there something else we needed to say about these leaky vaccines?
Yeah, I just wanted to wrap it up, and I wanted to really indicate the shock that should be felt from everyone. Just like this scientist who was running this study, who when he realized what Marek's disease was 70 years ago and what it is now, and what has developed over time, what the mutations that have developed, the hot strains that have developed, maybe it's not the specific vaccine that we're dealing with right now, but could it be something for malaria, or could it be an Ebola vaccine or some other vaccine that leaks that has just recently been developed and is being inundated on the populations now? Could in 50 years, could it turn into something that is not manageable? And this is how I open this whole topic, is this exactly what the vaccine industry wants? Because now they're making money every year, every 6 months, because if you don't get it, that's it. You've got to get it, or you're going to succumb to this sickness, to this illness. And something that has always bothered me, a question that arose early on in this, we haven't been vaccinated.
Nope.
We've been sick, but we've been healthy ever since day one.
Regarding COVID, I was vaccinated for the usuals in the 1980s.
We talk about stories. We talk about the VAERS, the reporting system, all of the adverse reporting system where people are being vaccinated and they're succumbing to heart conditions brain fog and all manner of problems from the vaccine.
Yeah. Well, don't know for sure.
We don't know, but I mean, it's the VAERS has never been used like it is currently. It's blown up.
That's right.
Why would Big Pharma do this to their clients, their clientele? Why would they want to kill off and or sicken their clientele? Because they're not making money off of you and me. Mm-hmm. They're making money. Well, they're making money from government, because you know they've been prepaid, all these vaccines have been prepaid. But why would Big Pharma kill off their own clientele?
Do you have a theory?
Yeah, I absolutely do. Over time, this is going to mutate into something that you and I will not be able to survive. And it might not be you and me. It might be our kids. It might be future generations, unvaccinated generations, who are not able to withstand the hot strain that finally mutates from this. And so the only people they'll have left are the vaccinated, who took this vaccine into their lives. Thank you, Priest Fauci.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas all of the naysayers, the hesitant, the anti-vaxxers, the anti-mandates, you don't have them anymore. They went the way of the dodo. All due to a man-made deterrent, which was actually put together intentionally.
That's a pretty negative view of the future, Conan, but I hope you're wrong.
I hope I'm wrong
that.
As well.
Yeah.
But I mean, this, even if it wasn't done intentionally, even if it wasn't, look at the Marek's disease in the last 50 years and look how it has evolved. This same exact thing could happen to any human vaccine. The mutations can happen and they can evolve and they might not kill us this year or this decade, but look to 50 years from now when it is mutated into something that we can't handle any longer.
I'm going to believe that good, healthy people are going to be able to defeat whatever it is that comes out of this, but I definitely see where you're coming from.
It's a
possibility.
I hope it's over. I hope that they were only playing the Spanish flu 2-year playbook, and that this is it. This springtime, you have countries who are already pulling back.
Some are opening up, like the
Australia,
UK.
New Zealand. I still know what's wrong with you. Yeah, but you have plenty of countries that are like, we're getting rid. UK, they just ended everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping,
which was a surprise.
Well, Boris Johnson,
because he got caught partying.
He got caught partying last year. so the theory is that the only reason he's pulled it back is because he's trying to get reelected sometime in the future.
Okay.
So there's that one. But I mean, hopefully it's over. Hopefully, and of course it's an election season too.
Yeah.
The Democrats cannot, because they're the people who are pushing this. They can't get reelected on this policy because people hate it. Most people hate it.
There's a lot of people who are sick and tired of it. The people that were on board, are a lot of them, they're falling away from this.
Yeah. And or like in our case right here in Keene, they reintroduced the stupid mask mandate. People aren't following it this time.
There's a lot of obedience out there that I've seen when I've been at the grocery stores, but the business owners, fewer of them are enforcing it.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing.
I've only seen it. It's only happened to me once. I actually got thrown out of an auto zone.
Yeah. Yeah. We were thrown out last week.
And I was, it just blew my mind. This is where real men shop. This is people who fix their own vehicles. They shop here and some big fatty. Right when I walk in, he's like, dude, you got to put your mask on. I'm like, I don't wear a mask. He's like, well, I'm not going to sell you anything.
Wow.
And I'm like, all right, I'm going to walk across the street to your competitors, and I'm going to spend my money there, you idiot.
Yep.
And guess what I did?
You did just that.
I walked right across the street, bought the same part. You know what? I spent more on it.
Sure. Why not?
I spent more. I usually shop around. We have three auto stores.
Right.
I shop around. I always get the best price. AutoZone had the best price, but not that day they didn't. They lost a sale.
Yeah.
Idiots.
Yeah. That same thing happened to Bonnie and I one day last year, I think it was, and this exact same situation. And horribly obese.
It's probably the same
person.
Guy. It was actually the same guy.
I think it was a female in this particular case, but you know, she wanted to thrust her vision of what things ought to be on us, and you know, we weren't bugging anybody, we weren't speaking out or anything like that, we weren't talking trash. We just gone in to get some part or whatever, and we did the exact same thing. We went across the street, and I made a point to thank the people over at
Advanced Auto. Oh, by the way, when I walked in Advance, no one's wearing masks.
Nice.
Both associates are standing there. Just chill.
I love it.
And I did thank them, and I specifically told Fatty, I was like, you just lost a sale, sir. I'm going across the street. Goodbye.
Good.
And I think more people need to do this. The more people who do that, the quicker this nonsense will end.
Yeah, yeah. You've got to speak up about this. And if you want to join us and speak up here on the radio, you can. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. 1-800-283-6160. I hope that you're right, Conan, and that things are going to be pulling back and that we're not going to see another crackdown in the immediate future. And yeah, I think you're right. The fact that there's an election coming up is definitely playing into how some of these politicians are approaching this. Like, you know, right here in New Hampshire, Sununu, the governor, he went all crazy in 2020 with all kinds of
mandates. And all of a sudden, it's like night and day. It's like it's like he just has he's a whole new person.
He's
very interesting. Interesting.
He's a snake, but yeah, he's behaving very differently.
He's a globalist.
Sure. It turns out his brother is on the World Economic Forum. Did you hear about that?
No.
Yeah. John Sununu Jr., I guess.
Makes perfect sense.
More coming up here. You can join us 603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live. Phones are open. You can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. With you tonight, it's Ian.
And Conan.
Don't forget, you can join us online anytime over at freetalklive.com. And I want to say thanks to Joseph Scholl, who is a supporter of the Free Talk Live Amps Patreon. Joseph is a silver level supporter, meaning he's doing $5 a month over on our new Patreon, which you can get to at amps.freetalklive.com. So thank you, Joseph, for that. You get some cool perks, you get some benefits, and you help us support the show over at amps.freetalklive.com. Coming up, the latest from Australia. What's the latest madness? How much worse can things get there? We'll talk about it. But first, El Conejo is on the line calling us from New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Conan. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey. I've been thinking about that $10 million for the Freedom Convoy 2020 hashtag.
Yeah.
And how you know that the money's getting to the truckers and everything. And
that was my question.
And also about GoFundMe's long history of financial censorship. So what advice I want to give the truckers is go onto social media, Facebook, Twitter, especially Twitter, and post a little story that proves you're you and kind of timestamp it and post hashtag crypto convoy 2020 with your crypto address along with your freedom convoy 2020 tag. And that way people can find you and donate to you directly. And we know we're donating to a real person because you can turn the camera around and show the convoy and say, today is Saturday, blah, 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 blah. And we know the money's getting right to where it needs to go. And then we're also helping spread the gospel about getting out of this fiat nightmare.
That's a great suggestion. Now, of course, how do you prevent somebody from snagging the video and making a copycat account and putting it up on their, you know, fake account?
Well, it's a lot more trustworthy than just a $10 million GoFundMe black hole, I guess.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. And there's probably ways to do it, like maybe identifying the day or, you know, putting your own username, right? So, like, if you're, you can't have more than one of the same username on Twitter, for instance. So if you, like, hold up some sort of sign in the video that's got your username on it, that way you know for sure it's appearing in the place where it belongs. There are some creative ways they can think of.
You could also show your QR code in the video. That'd be really hard to deep fake. And then, you know, you're scanning the right receiving address and, you know, you can hold up your Bitcoin, your Monero, your Ethereum or whatever your preference is. And people can just instantly donate money to you. And I want to support people, but I want to know it's going towards people.
That's a great point, El Conejo. So you said hashtag crypto convoy 2022?
Sure, that sounds good. Crypto convoy 2022.
I love it.
Get it going.
It's a great idea.
Spread the word, truckers.
Nice.
Good 6 months ago, we were talking truckers, whether I think it was the Australian truckers at the time.
Yeah.
And
that one fizzled.
Yeah, and so did the American variant.
They're supposedly going to do another American thing.
Well,
soon.
When we talked about that article, I found a Facebook. Anyone who's on the Facebook, I recommend this site, this page, or this group. It's Stop the Tires 2020, all one word.
Hmm.
And I've been monitoring this group since then, and they they're up on top of it. They have all of the latest articles, all the interviews, all of the Trudeau, all the, according to this, Elon Musk has come out, calling Trudeau a little baby. And so I definitely recommend this group. And this, if you're talking about, we were just talking about actually giving money straight to the truckers, this might be a good site to visit.
And what was it called?
Stop the Tires 2020. One word.
El Conejo, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it. And by the way, I did pull up the GoFundMe here. It's still online. They haven't taken this thing down. Last night, there were 116,000 or 111,000, somewhere in that range, donations. Tonight, there are 121,800 donations. They've raised another $400,000 between last night and today. And when I had Mehdi on the phone earlier, the gentleman that called in from Canada to tell us about his experience in Ottawa over the weekend, he was telling me when we were off the air about some of the people that are apparently the supposed organizers of this thing in Ottawa right now, some of the key players. And he mentioned a name, BJ Dichter, D-I-C-H-T-E-R. Mm-hmm. BJ Dichter is one of the organizers of the GoFundMe, so presumably this GoFundMe is actually legit as far as the people that are behind it are not like some sort of scam artists.
Right.
That's my understanding.
Which is common these days.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to be really careful when you donate to these things. And so they're up to $9.879 million. So almost $9.9 million of their $10 million goal. So they, within the next 24 hours, are likely going to hit their $10 million goal, which is absolutely incredible.
Yeah. I'm just really hopeful that this money gets spent wisely,
yeah,
spent honestly, and that some of these truckers, we were talking about porta potties, fuel, food. Hopefully, this money is actually, because that could feed a lot of people.
One of the videos that I was looking at earlier during one of the breaks of the show did mention free food is being given out.
Good, good.
So,
well, and I did hear something about them going to homeless shelters, and that was being called out as extremely bad behavior. And I heard about the defecating on top of a car, too.
What were they supposedly doing at the homeless shelter?
Eating the food.
Hmm.
So that would probably not be a good habit to get into. Honest truckers going to these establishments. But I mean,
how do we know those weren't agents? How do we
exactly
know that those weren't the leftists?
How do we know the guy not pooping on the truck wasn't an agent provocateur? So, I mean, it's quite possible.
Where's the video of that? And did somebody confront that person?
Yeah, if that happened, there is video. If people were peeing on the side of the road, mm-hmm, and there would be yellow snow, you could take a picture of that and you can share it. And I haven't seen that picture.
No, somebody else said that the streets are immaculate today. In the video that I was watching from today,
usually when it comes to a certain type of activist,
mm-hmm, they pick up after themselves.
Yeah, the ones who work for a living, mm-hmm, the ones who usually can't go to these events because they're at work.
Right.
They're the type that clean up after themselves.
Yeah.
You look at some of these millennial type activists, if they're not leaving all of their signs, all of their used, spent food and packaging and whatnot, if they're not doing that, they're actually burning things down. They're actually throwing bricks through windows. This is the night and day type of activism, yeah, and it's just so mind-boggling that the left is coming out, the mainstream media is coming out in force against these people, labeling them anti-government, racist, Nazis.
They're doing everything they can.
Violent. The violence in the street. And it's like,
single arrest.
The cops, I wouldn't be surprised if there was actually cops amongst these guys.
There are police.
Not agents, but actually activist cops who were. There was one lady who was
out
talking
of their uniform, you mean?
Yes, exactly.
On their own time.
And are even standing up in uniform and say, hey, look, you guys are good to go. I'm all about it. I like what you're doing. Keep it up.
Yeah.
And there was one Canadian who actually came out and spoke in favor of this. So these are workers. These are people who clean up after themselves.
Right.
And they try to solve these problems nonviolently.
That's right. This is their solution.
This is where it's at, and it typically, universally, historically, doesn't really work, except maybe in election years, and it works really, really slow, and it's just little tidbits. It's just little scraps off the table. I don't think this is going to help anything.
I'm also, I want to be optimistic. I love what I'm seeing. I love the energy. I love what's happened. I think it's amazing. It's definitely historic. There's never been anything like this in our lifetimes that have occurred. I mean, it's you know, cinematic, right? Like, there was a convoy. There was a movie about.
There's gonna be there's gonna be a documentary
For sure.
And but I mean
the video. There's a ton of video, so it'd be easy to cut that
together. My opinion, and I hate to say it, but. It's not going to get done. It's not going to happen.
No.
Because they're not violent enough. Sadly, you look at Black Lives Matter. You look at these college kids wanting their debts paid.
They didn't get anything
paid.
Done either. They burned buildings down and they didn't get anything done, Conan. So violence isn't the solution. Violence isn't going to solve the problem.
I think that it did a lot. I think you
what
got.
Did it
I
do?
I think politicians are sucking up to them.
But it didn't do anything. They didn't change anything. Yeah, they sucked up to them in the same way that, remember the Tea Party? From a decade ago? Remember Occupy?
Oh, yeah.
There's, you know, the left and the right things of literally a decade.
Oh, yeah, you mean when their left and right were in the same room and they were actually holding signs with each other?
No, that didn't happen.
At Occupy, it did. Well, libertarian types and left.
Libertarians went to both. But what happened was, at the Occupy, the Democrat politicians came out, started holding signs and walking in front of parades. Of course he was. And then at the Tea Party, the Republicans started coming out and saying, I'm a Ron Paul Republican. And, you know, started holding signs with the Tea Party and acting like they'd been there the whole time. Yeah. And they co-opted the movements. And the same thing happened with Black Lives Matter. They got co-opted by the politicians. So we got more coming up. You can share your thoughts. Hour 3 is next. This is Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live, phones are open here. Kicking off the third hour of the program, you can join us and take control of the airwaves. The number is 603-283-6160, and by that I mean you can bring up anything you want. We'll talk to you about it. Of course, we bring in things to talk about too. Coming up, we're going to get into, actually right now, we're going to get into the latest from Australia. It has been absolutely insane. In Australia, how far they have gone with the COVID crackdowns, with the mandates, with the vaccine passports, with locking people away in quarantine camps, building more quarantine camps that are brand new. They were using like old sort of repurposed work camps from private industry that had still existed. And since the money was available, they went ahead and started building government camps from scratch. And they're doing the same thing, by the way, in China.
Yeah, I think they're in a case of, I think they're repurposing. Like, one is a repurposed mining camp.
That's correct. That's the something springs. Yeah. That's what I was saying. They were repurposing, but they're also building brand new camps.
Brand spanking new.
And that's what they're doing in China as well, where they're locking people away. And, if they want, they'll put you in there for 2 weeks. If you're a good little boy or girl, maybe they'll let you out. But if you're not, then they'll just keep you in there as long as they please.
And put a strike on your credit score as well.
So what's the latest? Well, here's the story from the West Australian at perthnow.com.au. Frontline staff policing Australia's broadest proof of vaccination laws will be backed by tough new penalties that could see anyone who, quote, threatens, intimidates, or is even just offensive to that person when asked for proof of vaccination, jailed or fined. So I could see why, threats are unacceptable. But even if you just simply offend the person who's asking you for the vaccine paperwork, the new rules came into effect Monday, bar anyone who is not double-dose vaccinated against COVID-19 from a raft of hospitality and entertainment venues, gyms, hospitals, schools, and bottle shops. And I guess that's their term for a bar.
Bottle shops.
Bottle shops.
That's odd.
The new rules apply to people aged over 16 who do not have a medical exemption. Businesses will be expected to police the new rules themselves, leading to fears of conflict between staff and unvaccinated customers that are refused entry or service.
Yeah, I like it when they run it this way, because a lot of these establishments The big monster ones might enforce it. They might actually hire someone to stand at the door mm-hmm. and to walk around making sure that people have their papers, please. But little mom and pop stores, these where I shop at, they're not going to enforce this.
Well, they're being required to.
They are, but they're not going to because they want to sell their product and they don't want to
sure.
have conflict or start drama with their customer. Walmart might do it. But mom and pop, they're gonna be like, yeah, you know what? Just come on in, just do what you do. You think because they want the business.
They do. I get what you're saying, Conan. But this is an incredibly obedient population we're talking about. Yeah, here. We're talking about Australia.
Yeah, prison colony.
Yeah, I mean these people have been beaten down, and very few of them are willing to stand up. Now it doesn't say what the punishment is.
It doesn't say fine and or jail and no. or I mean yeah, so, or strike on their credit score. And by the way, this all happened when Paul Hogan left. Crocodile Dundee, man.
That ruined everything.
It
huh?
ruined everything. He moved to the States.
Yeah, he's been in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
But according to the story here, even though they're saying businesses are expected to police the new rules themselves, they're not saying what the penalty is if they don't, but you better believe there is one. But they're talking about the penalty for those who confront the staff. So the reason why they're promoting this is to give the business owners the courage. Say, oh, well, if anybody messes with you, just call the police,
right.
And they'll arrest them.
Yeah, right. Look how well that's working in Keene. New article in the Sentinel today.
Oh,
they have not arrested and or fined anybody.
Excellent.
During this entire month that this nonsense has been reintroduced.
Have they given any of the warnings out?
They have a memo
uh-huh.
that talks about why you should do it and da-da-da-da-da. They hand it to you. And that's it.
That's what the police are doing.
That's what they're doing. They go there with a memo. Here's your warning. Or not your warning, but this is how you should act in public or in this establishment. And that's it. But
how many times have they given that out?
I don't know that,
mm-hmm.
but I know that no one's been arrested and have been no fines.
Well, I'll tell you this, Conan. I saw a police officer, a high-ranking officer,
in the bottle shop.
No, saw him at the grocery store, and I'm not going to say who it was because I want to protect him because the media has been rabid against Jason Short, who's a police lieutenant,
yeah.
who came out and actually spoke out. Against the mandate.
He said he's not going to enforce it. I'm just plain not going to enforce this nonsense.
And so I spoke with someone who's even higher ranking than him. Now that narrows it down because there are only like three people who are higher ranking than him. And the officer I spoke with, I said, hey, what do you think about what happened to old Jason Short? And he didn't even really know what that situation was about.
It was in the paper.
I know. It just goes to show there's not really any meaningful like
or he just doesn't even care
awareness, right? Like that, yeah, it doesn't matter to him really. And so I kind of I gave him a little briefing on what had happened,
yeah.
and he said there's no one in the Keene police that wants to enforce this.
It's ridiculous, and that's why I'm happy that this yeah. the Australia is handling it basically the same way.
Their cops are going around cracking down on people,
but they're actually saying in this article that they're leaving it up to the stores, the establishments, yeah, to take care of
being threatened by the police,
because they know if they have to send a police to every single violation, they don't have the numbers. They just don't have it. But you're absolutely right. I mean, the police are actually beating people.
They're arresting
up.
You.
They're actually hitting people.
Australia.
They're actually setting the dogs loose on
and
violators.
If you confront the staff, so if you walk into the gym. Or
the bottle shop,
indoor entertainment venue, a hospital, and you don't show proof of vaccination and you say something about it. You give them a little bit
yeah,
of lip.
A little smarmy.
Then they call the police and then you could be arrested facing up to a year in jail or a fine of up to $50,000 Australian.
Good God almighty.
The Shop and Distributive and Allied Employees Association State Secretary Peter O'Keefe said the penalties were, quote, a significant deterrent for anyone likely to go after a shop assistant for simply doing their job. He said further, if people break these rules and a couple of them are prosecuted, that would send a message far and wide. It's an important protection that was needed because we have seen the public can be quite badly behaved, particularly in liquor stores at the best of times.
Yeah, sorry. Unquote. The people enforcing this, the cops, are the badly behaved.
Absolutely.
Sorry, the rest of them, the ones that are getting beat down with batons, they are trying to be free, trying to live their lives freely and peacefully. Not the cops. Bad behavior.
Earlier this month, Mark McGowan had urged people to not be, quote, dropkicks, unquote, by giving venue staff a hard time when asked to show proof of their COVID-19 vaccination. In a social media post, the premier said the aim of the vaccination proof was to ensure everyone stayed safe during the pandemic. Quote, if you're asked to show your proof of vaccination, don't be a dropkick, he wrote. He said further, there is never an excuse to be rude to staff. Not now, not ever. It's not the Western Australian way. Requiring proof of vaccination for higher risk venues means that everyone in attendance is safer. It's already been rolled out in some other states, and there's no reason Western Australia can't do it too.
Sorry, so. Premier. You put these associates in a bad situation. You forced them into a corner. It is your dictates that have put them in a bad situation. It's not the guys who are just trying to shop and at the bottle shop and get their drinks. It's your problem.
But now people are going to get arrested, and it's going to be a he said, she said thing, right?
Maybe this needs to happen. Maybe this needs to be the kick in the pants, the drop kick that the Aussies need to wake them up out of this nonsense. Maybe they need more baton hits to the head.
I guess
so. To wake up.
It's already really bad there. So, I mean, this is just another step towards tyranny.
I'm starting to lose sympathy for you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, 2 years of this.
When are you going to stand up? Supposedly, the Australian truckers are doing something. Again, I don't know how that's panning
out. They need to stop delivering the food. That'll wake people up.
That'll change it. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. Talk Live, the number 603-283-6160. You can bring up anything you want and take control of the airwaves. 603-283-6160. In Australia, you don't have the freedom of speech. Australia does not have a constitution, a bill of rights.
They don't have guns.
They don't have that. Well, it's easy to take those away if they don't have any kind of rights.
Well, I mean, that's really, I don't know, that's a key factor in retaining your ability to talk freely.
Yeah, a lot of people make that argument here in the U.S., and I think there's a strong argument for it. We can continue with what's going on over in Western Australia. You can bring up whatever's on your mind as well, and then we can go a little closer to home with the latest from Boston, one of the cities where they do have vaccine passports. They do have mandates. How's the restaurant industry doing there in Boston? We can tell you about that. Again, the number is 603-283-6160. But Free Talk Live is brought to you by Bitcoin.com. So if you're interested in learning about cryptocurrency, and by the way, the governments of the world hate
cryptocurrency.
With the exception of the El Salvadoran one.
And they hate Ian.
They sure do.
And the rest of the crypto five.
The crypto six.
Well, the other fives.
Oh, yeah, I get what you're saying. Anyway, go to Bitcoin.com, learn about this technology. It's amazing. There is a bit of a learning curve, but it's not really that complicated to understand the basics. It gets complicated the further down you dig, like if you want to learn about how the programming or the math or something works. I don't know how that works, but I know that it works well, and I know that it works to allow people to transfer value from one person to another within relatively instantaneously, and that it's been working for more than a decade now, and it's absolutely incredible technology you need to learn about. Go to Bitcoin.com, click Get Started at the top of the page over at Bitcoin.com. And if you want to get the latest news headlines, they've got those for you there too at news.bitcoin.com, updated every single day. That's news.bitcoin.com. So we were talking about the new law that is apparently in effect. It started on Monday in Western Australia, where if you say something offensive to a staff member at a restaurant or a gym or indoor entertainment facility of some sort, if they come up to you and say, "Sir, excuse me, I would like to see your vaccination passport."
Screw off.
And
screw off.
And you say, "No, I don't like you. Stop asking me those things. Leave me alone.
You're a dropkick."
Yeah.
Or whatever that is.
Yeah, I wonder what that means. Some sort of Australian slang.
Well, a dropkick is where you take your football
yeah.
and you hold it up and you drop it and you kick it.
Right, but it's being used to apply to a human here, so like I don't know what that means.
Some kind of an insult.
It is apparently an insult. So yeah, if you insult this person,
I guess you would not want to be the football getting kicked, being dropped and then kicked. So if you're a drop kick, I guess you are the heel,
maybe.
Who knows?
There's probably
Ozzie's,
Urban Dictionary.
Are Ozzie's even allowed to listen to this program?
Pull up Urban Dictionary and look it up.
Absolutely.
Because you don't have the freedom of speech. And you never did in Australia, not just Western Australia, but the entirety of Australia. New Zealand is also like this, where they have no Bill of Rights. They have no constitution. The government can basically just do whatever it is that they want to do. I mean, that's essentially what happens here in the United States, too. But they still have to pay lip service to freedom of speech. Like, we're still able to be critical of the federal government here in the United States. If you want to tell somebody to flip off at a private business, they can tell you to leave, but they can't have you arrested for what you say to them.
This is the world we live in. The woke, don't hurt my feelings, let me be safe in my safe space moment.
Yeah.
By the way, a dropkick refers to someone who isn't very smart and hasn't made it very far in life. A dropkick usually doesn't go to school anymore. So a dunce.
Gotcha.
And that got a lot of upvotes. So I'm assuming that is the correct definition.
Gotta love Urban Dictionary.
I love it.
It's massively informative website.
And entertaining a lot of the times.
Yeah, it really is. So, I mean, that's really all that's worth pointing out here. I'm sure there's been some more terrible news from Australia. Honestly, I have not been following the COVID news very closely over recent weeks. There's been so many other exciting things going on, like the truckers, the convoy in Ottawa, and so on. But there's, I've seen a few things here worth mentioning, and there is one story out of Boston that I do want to get into. But first, we're going to go to Richard. He's calling us from New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Conan. Go ahead, Richard.
Yes, I'd like to comment on Whoopi Goldberg claiming the Holocaust didn't involve race, and if not, why then were all the Jews killed during World War II? And if Whoopi isn't removed from the show she is on, people should quit watching that show, and they should boycott all of the endorsements if Whoopi has any. Because
have you heard about this, Conan? This Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah.
Hang on, Richard. I just want to see, because I heard something, but I didn't look closely.
Oh yeah,
this is
the drama that gets eaten up the easiest. It's easy to understand. It's a celebrity saying something stupid, and of course everyone's making a big fuss about it. And actually, to think about the fact that she says that race wasn't an indicator of the Jewish annihilation is a very that is very interesting, especially coming from someone in Hollywood, someone who is probably rubbing shoulders with a lot of Jews, for her to come out and say, of course, this is the one who was with Ted Danson who did blackface. So I mean, maybe she's an anti-Semite. Who knows? But I mean, for her to come out and make these claims is very interesting.
Well, according to the story at CNN, during a roundtable discussion, Goldberg said she was surprised at nudity in a, I guess it was a graphic novel depicting the horrors of the Holocaust. She was surprised at the nudity and not the Holocaust itself is what appeared to concern the school board. While co-host Joy Behar replied the nudity concerns were likely, quote, a canard to throw you off from the fact that they don't like that history makes white people look bad. Goldberg then said, quote, well, this is white people doing it to white people, so y'all gonna fight amongst yourselves, she said.
And I think she went on to say something to the effect that the Ku Klux Klan was down the street, and I was standing next to a Jew. There was no way in hell they were coming after him or her. They were going to get me first. Something to that effect. But yeah, I mean, the idea that she would come out and make these claims is, I think, very telling. That she really doesn't know what's going on. She's lost the picture, definitely.
Thanks for bringing this up tonight, Richard. Definitely appreciate hearing from you, and thanks for the call. The number is 603-283-6160. She's now since apologized for the comments. because Jews are a race.
Yeah, well, but a lot of them are, a lot of people are Jewish or have some Jew in them in this country. And so it is, you know, yeah. Don't you have like a fingernail or something worth of?
I'm 10% or 11%.
I wouldn't know.
But
for her to make that claim, though, is exactly what the black community or black activists have been complaining about forever, is that all Chinese look the same or all blacks look the same. She just said the same thing. She's like, all white people look the same to me. It's exactly what she just said.
Yeah, and if somebody said something like that about blacks on
Yeah, she'd be all over it. She would be all fired. Over it. She's a hypocrite.
There's more coming up here in moments. You can join us. But also, Hitler killed more than just Jews well. It's Free Talk Live. Talk Live, phones open here if you want to join us. All you got to do is dial in at 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's Ian
and Conan.
Don't forget, you can join us online anytime you want. Head over to freetalklive.com and you can join the Matrix chat server. It is a self-hosted, more decentralized option. I mean, it's still a centralized server, but they're federated. So you can reach our server from other Matrix servers and vice versa. And it's pretty cool. It's free. It's encrypted if you want it to be. You can actually create your own chat rooms on this server. There's already dozens of rooms created by the show and listeners of the show. But also, if you just want to spin one up for whatever purposes you want, private, public, encrypted, unencrypted, it's up to you. Over at chat.freetalklive.com. That'll take you to a step-by-step set of instructions on how to join the Free Talk Live Matrix chat over at chat.freetalklive.com. We've been talking about the latest bad news from Australia, and that is that in Western Australia, it is now illegal with a potential of up to a year in jail and $50,000 in fines simply for, quote, being offensive to people asking for your vaccine. Let me see your papers.
For hurting their feelings, yes. Essentially.
Yeah. If they feel threatened, intimidated, or offended, they can call the police. And I don't know. Is it going to be he said, she said? Or are we going to have some evidence here?
Or is it going to go straight to batons?
Well, what I mean is like when they call the police on you, you know, do they have to actually show some proof that you were quote unquote offensive? Or do they just get to say, he offended me, and arrest that man?
I'm assuming that.
It could very well be that bad. I mean, this is terrible, this whole situation over there. And as you pointed out earlier, Conan.
By the way, guilty before being proven innocent.
Yeah, and as you pointed out earlier, while this happening while in other places that aren't that different, like the UK, they're rolling back regulations.
A lot of these are northern countries which are experiencing their cold flu season.
Yeah, it's summertime there.
This is the most ridiculous part about this. It's not even the flu season there.
No, it's crazy. Let's continue, though. You've got a story as well. We'll get into it. But first, we got Major Payne on the line in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, guys. Yeah, there's a new little ditty going on about this truck convoy business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Evidently, there's about 1,000 rigs or so somewhere up in the Montana territory. I don't know if it's this side of the border or that side of the border that have blocked off the border. Hmm. And they're still letting emergency vehicles and school buses and whatnot through. It's a border town.
Okay.
But they called the Mounties in on them, so I guess it's that side of the border, seeing as how that side of speculation has been handled. But anyway, these guys have gotten a legal fund together, and they've gotten a couple, three lawyers, and they're fighting a good fight. So
now, what is the goal? Why are they blocking the border?
Well, just to gain the respect and intimidate the powers that be. I don't know. They're trying to make everybody get vaccinated. I'm not going to let you frog stick me.
Yeah, and the question is,
boys, for standing their ground either.
When the food stops reaching the restaurants and the supermarkets and whatnot, because this is when revolution really is going to take place. It's when you haven't eaten for 3 days. That's when it's going to happen. And that's essentially what they're doing. I mean, it's one thing not to get your gadget from China, but when you can't get food, from your store, from
your
supermarket.
Pay attention.
This is what's going to take place with these types of blockades. The food's not going to get there.
I'm older than you guys, and I remember seeing pictures of the old Soviet bloc, and there'd be like three pyramids of canned goods in the window of the store. And you go in this store, and that was all there was that tuna and beans and turnips.
It's like that
now, you know?
To some extent here. I was at every week at the grocery store, Bonnie and I kind of assess what the status is. We were looking at a shelf of drinks, like refrigerated drinks, and like those juices, the high expensive $3 a bottle kind of juices. They had one row of them, so it looked like it was stocked.
Yeah, that's how
but there
do.
Was literally nothing else behind them.
Yeah, but that's an old trick. All stores do that, and stores do run out of items sometimes.
Sure, but it's happening a lot now, Conan. And it's not like, it's always been that way. It's usually that section is very well stocked. Not anymore.
I am glad that these truckers are doing what they're doing, because it's gonna start conversation, which it is. This whole week, this is all that's been talked about by some groups, and some groups are hailing them, and some are demonizing them.
Right.
But here's what I fear is going to happen when the food doesn't get to the stores. This is who are the customers going to be angry with? Are they going to be angry at the truckers? Are they going to be angry at the governments who created these sanctions? This is exactly what happens when you blockade countries and prevent food from getting in to other countries, because we don't like their dictators. The people aren't mad at their dictators; they're mad at us. I mean, the whole point of sanctions is to oust these crazy people. But the people are never mad at them. They're mad at the people who are causing the problem, which in this case would be the truckers.
Or they'll get mad at the clerks, the poor clerks that are just trying to stock the shelves. They're the ones that have to deal with these customers.
Yeah, it's
way deeper than that. I called in on Sunday and I talked to the captain, and on 2020 when this whole thing first started, our Gretchen the Great grand home here wouldn't let us buy garden seeds.
I remember that.
They did the same thing here at Walmart. They put tape all over. They wrapped them in plastic so you couldn't get
Vermont.
To them.
That was Vermont. That didn't happen here.
Well, especially the heritage seeds. They wanted to sling the GMOs, but you could buy petunias and pansies and snapdragons.
Half of those seeds on those racks aren't even heritage anyways. They're all hybrid.
Well, I know, but I keep an eye out for such things.
Yeah.
But they put a special kibosh on those.
Thanks, Major Payne, for the call tonight. I appreciate it. The number, if you want to join us, 603-283-6160. So according to the Boston Restaurant Trade Group, this story from BusinessInsider.com, Boston restaurants are losing up to $15,000 per week due to the city's vaccine mandates.
It's horrible. I go back to it. Are they going to be mad at the right people? Are they going to be mad at the governments? Are they going to be mad at the people who aren't shopping there anymore? Are they going to make the right decision?
The new requirement to show proof of vaccination against COVID-19 took effect January 15th, so it's only been 2 weeks. But, quote, the damage that has already occurred statewide in the restaurant industry in relation to the COVID-19 pandemic cannot be undone, but the future of our restaurants, small businesses, and employment are reliant on the choices our leaders make today. Well, stop considering them your leaders.
First, just remove that from your vocabulary. They're not leading anything.
They're criminals.
They're leading you down a dark pit.
He said this in the Boston Herald. The MRA, which is the Massachusetts Restaurant Association, is a statewide association that provides access, influence, protection to restaurant professionals. It also provides support to the hospitality industry in City Hall. So they're a lobbyist group.
Yeah. They're a union. They're kind of a business union.
The official rules mean businesses are now required to ask patrons for proof of vaccination in response to Omicron. There have been numerous protests over the new rules. In a letter addressed to the mayor, the MRA wrote, quote, "We ask that you reevaluate the vaccine mandate given the rapidly improving conditions in Boston and provide the roadmap forward so that the most beleaguered industry in the most affected city in the state can make a plan towards recovery."
Stop asking for permission.
And start doing
it. Just do it. This is a large establishment. They're big. Representing all of the restaurants and all the food people. They have so much more power than they realize.
Yep. And just all they're doing is begging.
Say no. Just stop asking permission from these idiots. You could do it. I mean, it's so easy. Just
that's all it takes.
Just send an email to all your restaurants. We are not going to take it any longer.
Right. If you want to reopen, if you want freedom, just seize it and do it. That's what the truckers are showing people.
Exactly.
But are they paying attention? Do they have the cojones?
The truckers got balls is what it
is. That's what I'm saying, yeah. The 603-283-6160 is the number. You can join us here and share your thoughts on the radio. This is Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live phones open. You can join us. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Cody.
You can join us online, by the way. And we do have feeds, RSS feeds for podcasts. If you've got a podcast client, you want to subscribe to Free Talk Live, get over to feeds.freetalklive.com. You'll find the links that you need there. There's a link to our full podcast, which has all of the episodes of the show and the Daily Digest. There's also Daily Digest only and full episodes only versions. All of them are available over at feeds.freetalklive.com. That makes it so you can easily receive every episode that comes out. You don't even have to think about it. It's right there in your podcatcher, whatever you happen to use for that. So head over to feeds.freetalklive.com. Conan, you've got a story about the other side of the vaccination passport situation.
The black market.
The fact that people don't want to get these vaccines, but they still want to go out to eat and go out to the gym and
do stuff.
They're faced with a tough choice to make.
Yeah, this just sent in. This is from yesterday. My boss sent this in.
Hmm.
She's always mad at me that I don't talk about articles that she sends me.
Okay,
hey, Lori, if you want to talk about anything, the name of the program is Free Talk Live. I know you know the number.
Yeah.
But thank you for sending this because this has opened my eyes to one problem that I don't think is being really highlighted enough. Two nurses on New York's Long Island allegedly forged COVID-19 vaccination cards and entered the false shots in the state's database.
Ooh.
In a scheme that ranked in over $1.5 million, according to prosecutors. Julia De Vuona, 49, the owner of the operator of the Wild Child Pediatric Healthcare in Amityville, and her employee, Marissa Uaro, 44, were arrested Thursday. The Suffolk County District Attorney's Office said Friday in a news release.
Wow. Both
women were charged with one count of second-degree forgery. De Vuona was also charged with first-degree offering a false instrument for filing, according to the release. Now, they were charging $220 per adult and $85 per child. Now, I did the math, and I just counted adults at $220 a pop, $1.5 million, $220 a pop. That's 4,500 fake vaccine cards.
Not bad.
That these people were not only are they making money off of black market style, which is the way that this is how it works. Hello, USSR. 4,500 fake vaccines that were counted in the database. So all right, they just caught two people. How many other nurses, how many other healthcare practitioners are doing the exact same thing and entering the data? What are the numbers that they're spewing to us that we're seeing in little ticker tape down at the bottom? So and so, such and such percentage of the state or the city have been vaccinated. Is that number real?
Yeah, how fake is it? I mean, we can presume it's not fully accurate, but how inaccurate is it? We have no clue.
Yeah, I've always had a real serious problem with the case count because you have hypochondriacs that are getting tested every damn week.
Right.
Are they counted as one case
or 10?
Is every time they send in their information, are they counting all 10 cases?
Right. Well, I mean, which
I know they are.
And then there's, of course, the fact that these tests are highly inaccurate that they've been doing. So, I mean, there's just no way to know.
The PCR test is absolute crap.
Right.
It's a drop kick.
So there's no way to really know what the reality of this
is. The World Health Organization has already come out and says, no, you can't use the PCR test. It's false positives. Too many. Yeah, it might prove that you have it, but not it's not, but it doesn't count the viral load.
Now, what I want to know about,
so what? But my question is, they're using something else. What, like these tests they send that I've been delivering for the past month,
the instant test or whatever?
I don't know how they work. I don't know what they are. It's some kind of an antigen test. Who knows if they're even reliable? Yeah.
Who knows? What I'm wondering in this case is, can they identify after the fact? Like, are there initials or is there name on who they have approved into the system? Can the investigators go in and undo all of the people that have gotten the fake vaccine passports? Or is it just in the system? They don't know who put them in there, and so you can't undo what's already been done.
If you're a nurse, if you've actually administered these shots, and you actually, what do you do with the data? Are you just handing it to your bureaucratic administrator? And he's doing something with it? Are the names attached to the shots? I don't think so. I mean, you got people who are in drive-throughs. They're driving through a damn setup shop where you're just sticking your arm out the window and you're getting a shot. Which, by the way, anyone who would do something like that, there's something wrong with you. You're just as crazy as the teacher who was locking her kid in the trunk when he found out he had COVID. You're in crazy town. Yep. Do you some pimple faced knucklehead with a syringe? Well, you don't know what's in that.
Nope, you really don't.
So yeah, I'm not sure. And you know what? I think everyone's doing it differently. I think they all have a different scheme. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any accountability at all. I think there's just numbers getting thrown around, and these 4,500 wrong cases, they're never going to be removed from the books. They're going to stay right where they're at, and they're going to stay a part of the wrong information. Because when you see that 60% of New York is vaccinated, you know what? That's convinced me. Yeah. I think I'm going to go get vaccinated. But if you only see 20% are vaccinated, you'd be like, well, why not everyone else? What's wrong? Why are you so hesitant? Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm going to be hesitant too. Right. Crowd mentality.
That's true. I think this is interesting. And you said it was an undercover agent who revealed this. That's how they got caught.
It was the police department. One of these police departments.
Damn.
They sent in an undercover agent to get a fake vaccine, and that was the end of the day. That was it.
That's too bad. I wonder if they got a tip or if they're just regularly doing sting operations.
It's got to be a tip. It's got to be a tip. So well, I mean, how are they advertising? Mm-hmm. Is it just word of mouth? See, I mean, someone who is in the know is going to find out. 4,500 people, you can't keep a secret. You can't keep a secret from three people.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And this is not the first time this has happened. They've been catching people selling.
No, yeah, you're
fake,
right.
Or empty cards, or even filled out cards
on eBay.
They got some
state troopers. There were state troopers over in Vermont that got busted for it.
That makes nothing but sense.
Yeah.
this is the black market, and this is how it works. Even the gray market. You lawmakers, you nannies, you Karens, you can't stop these things. You can't stop drugs. You can't stop illegalities. People are going to find a way around it. They've caught two people. How many other hundreds or even thousands of people are still doing this under the table? Because people don't want this thing. They don't want the jab.
Yeah. And unfortunately, this is the way it goes when people aren't willing to do what we were talking about before, like, you know, stand up.
Yeah, they're playing ball.
Refuse to obey. This is what they do, is they pretend like they're doing what they're told, but the reality is they're actually not, and they're actually putting themselves at an even greater risk. Because, you know, you'll get a felony. These women are charged with felonies for this fraud.
Yeah, what happens to the people? What happens to the customers if they get caught?
Whereas, there's probably felony charges for them too.
Exactly. For taking fraudulent documents or whatever. Exactly.
But if you just refuse to obey, they're not hitting people with felonies for that yet, at least in the United States that I have heard of. You might get a misdemeanor trespass charge if you hang around, right? Like if you go into a grocery store or wherever, you know, gym or whatever, and you say, I'm not showing you my vaccine passport in New York City, they're going to tell you to leave.
Yep.
And if you don't leave,
you're trespassing.
You will get a
trespass. Yeah, but that's it. Not a felony.
And that's a misdemeanor in that case. And you should just leave because they don't want your business and you shouldn't give them your business.
Exactly.
And that's, you know, I don't know if you've seen any of these New York videos out of these restaurants where protesters are going in and getting arrested. They're getting charged with trespass.
Mm-hmm.
They're not getting charged with you didn't get a vaccine passport. It's a trespass charge. So you're taking a much more dangerous route by getting the fake passport or by giving out the fake passports than you would be if you just simply stood up for yourself. So, once again, if there are enough people willing to stand up, there's very little that they can do. We talked about this last night. It always comes down to numbers. That's why the truckers in Canada are winning. Or at least that's why they're not getting arrested.
This week.
Right. That's why they're not getting a total crackdown on what's happening to them, because they outnumber the police.
Exactly. Exactly.
And the people of New York City outnumber the police. I know there's a lot of cops in New York City, but the people outnumber them too. But the real solution, of course, for those that actually value liberty, for those that understand freedom, is to get to New Hampshire and get active here, because we do have large numbers already of activists, and thousands more just gives us that much more strength and that much more community and that much more ability to back each other up in situations like this. And that's why they didn't mess with us when we were doing the nightcaps partying for weeks in Keene, except one time when they came around and ticketed us for parking overnight, and then they dropped the tickets when
we
challenged them.
Live free or die, baby. Live free or die.
Yep. Check out 101reasonsfilm.com to learn the 101 reasons you should move to New Hampshire if you're a libertarian, if you're a voluntarist, liberty-loving anarchist. If you're not, then you don't belong here. We'll see you tomorrow night. FreeTalkLive.com.